Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of my new book, A New Life Awaits, Spirit Guided Insights to Share Global Awakening, which allows readers a new way to view the many changes happening worldwide as a means to better understand life, death, human evolution, so we may heal personally and collectively. And I am delighted to welcome Kathleen Archambault, author of Pride and Joy, who will share stories that comprise the best of LGBT history and those who are living fulfilling, successful lives. And for those listeners who may not have questioned their sexual orientation or gender identity, to learn more about people in that specific community. Life is about learning, accepting, allowing, loving, and ultimately finding peace, no matter what spiritual journey one has taken. Hello, Kathleen, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, for having me on.
Kathleen, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my esteemed and very knowledgeable guests share intimate stories as we explore the metaphysical and physical aspects of human development and remember that as spiritual beings having a physical life, the choices we make to explore this wondrous world of nature and human relationships is distinctly of our own making. We have choices, of course, but many of the events or challenges we face were partially created by our own thoughts and actions of soul life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, we will discuss many interesting life journeys, sharing the bravery of a Uruguayan author, the fight for justice that motivated Kate Kendall for the National Center for Lesbian Rights and many other members of the LGBT community who have helped express the values and love of this group and also often their difficulties in facing those who may not accept their lifestyle. Award-winning writer and longtime LGBTQ activist Kathleen Archambault tells the untold stories from diverse LGBT community voices around the world. Not like depressing, sinister, shadowy stories of the past, this book highlights people living often happy, successful lives. I always, Kathleen, love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and try to remember a person, place, or event that may have signaled to them the interest, work, lifestyle they would choose as an adult. For I know we are born with a soul destiny or life plan that ultimately moves us to refine our energy and remember the values of our inner life. So think back for a minute.
I think I've been destined to be a writer from a very early age. I, first of all, had a mother who spoke and quoted Latin and the Latin origins of words, and then who read poetry every day and quoted Shakespeare in our house just as a matter of course. So I was blessed with a rich language development from early childhood. And when I was about 12 years old, I had a very distinct vision of myself sitting at an oak table with a flood of light on the table and fresh flowers on the table, and I was writing. And that was my vision for myself even as a young child. And that, in fact, is what has been my life and my life's work.
Yes, we come in with this plan within us, and then the challenge is to discover it and ultimately to move towards our objectives, which I believe you found at an early age, and you fulfilled it by doing everything you could because you trusted the plan. I always say to people, I trust the plan. No matter what, no matter how different it may be for me rather than another person, I trust the plan of learning and loving and going forward. And your mother gave you a great gift, the language, the love of language and reading and writing and using our mind with our heart energy is the greatest thing there is in this world. So I'm glad you told that story. It was very lovely. Now, I never knew why people would use the term queer, and what does it mean to people in the LGBT community? Because in the book you wrote LGBT and sometimes LGBTQ. So those not familiar with the community may have little awareness of their issues, dreams, aspirations, and hopes, and why the word queer might come into it.
Yes, I think that queer is a generational divide term. I think the older generation was vilified in the past for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. So they loathed the word queer to describe themselves. However, the younger generation, the millennials of this generation, have reimagined the word queer and embraced it as an all-encompassing, broad term regarding sexual orientation and gender identification as well. So
yeah, well, I'm of the older generation, so I would never have used that word. That's why I asked you about it, because in the past it was thought not to be a pleasant way to talk about a person's sexual preference or choice. So now I understand. You're saying it's been reinvented in a way that has a greater power for happiness or acceptance, right?
Yes, I would say that, and I would also say that you, perhaps as a straight person, don't want to assume that you can use the word queer and it will be well received. And even I, as an openly lesbian person, only use the word queer in certain audiences. I'll give you an example. I spoke at a senior community living place called Rossmore. 10,000 seniors are housed in Walnut Creek, California. First of all, it's suburban, it's conservative, and it's seniors. So I did not use the word queer when I spoke to that audience. By contrast, yeah, when I spoke at the lesbian and gay student center on a university campus, I used the word queer and nobody batted an eye.
Okay, so that's good to know. I'm glad you explained that, because I was a little, I was a little not sure how to address that. Now, in the foreword of your book by Dustin Lance, who's black, Dustin Lance Black, an Academy Award Best Original Screenplay writer for Milk, he writes this, and I thought it was showed a lot of awareness, so I'd like to read it. My dream has come true, but even with marriage equality won in the United States, our larger global dreams of LGBTQ equality for all are still far from realized. For too long, our stories have been robbed from us, buried in fear and shame. Until recently, we would have been labeled mentally ill or criminal for even claiming our stories as our own. In many countries, that is still the case. So diving back into an excavation of our long-buried LGBTQ history with ABC's miniseries When We Rise, I gathered a group of diverse artists to help tell more of our stories in an even more inclusive fashion. But even this effort only scratches the surface. Far more light must be shed on who we are and where we come from. It is our combined histories, efforts, and stories that help define us as a people, pull us out of isolation, bring us together in community, and inspire us to rise up by reminding us that we have risen before, fought back before, faced backlash before, and won. Sharing our stories and our histories is not an exercise in nostalgia. Our history laid manifest is the foundation of our power. And maybe the reason this was so moving for me is because as an intuitive empath and medium since childhood, I have had to, see some eyes rolled by people who might not understand spiritual gifts or the uniqueness perhaps of past lives, or perhaps the reason that people choose a certain life path sexually, intellectually, or emotionally. And it was meaningful to me that we share our stories. And even though we have challenges, we are who we are, and we are born to thrive in our life and not pay attention to the outside world, but go from our inner knowing of what's right for us, right? So I wanted
And
to
I think
share that.
Justin Lance Black is a great example of having done that. I mean, he grew up in a Mormon household. He was basically cast out from his religion of childhood, and he still followed his path all the way to the Academy Awards.
Yes, and he followed the song in his heart and the connection possibly to insights or intuition that guided him. And that's the best way to enjoy this life to the fullest. He used both his spiritual and his physical life. So I kind of like that. Let's go on to, you talk about Tony. You have a lot of people in the book, a lot of wonderful people who found their way forward through their own challenges and their own way, their own way. So you mentioned Tony Kushner quit cello and Colm Tobin found his voice. Those are two different people and they were in the same chapter. So it's, why did he quit cello? His father, I believe, was a musician. And what was it that
No.
called to him that he had to follow? Yeah.
Well, I think he realized very young that when he was growing up, his father had a certain disdain for his son, and he didn't like Tony being called a sissy and didn't like Tony's lack of athletic ability and interest in sports. So Tony was not fitting into the family dream because his father and mother both were professional musicians. So one day he was walking along the marshy fields of Lake Charles, Louisiana, carrying a heavy wooden case that housed his cello. He slipped and his case broke open. Then, isn't this an
It's
interesting
funny.
metaphysical story? Sending the bridge, fingerboard, and peg box flying. When he got to his father's university office and told him the story, his father said, "You don't really like this, and I don't think you should play anymore. I don't want you to be part of the orchestra." His father had been in charge of the governor's program for gifted children as the orchestra conductor. And so Tony Kushner, I think, intuitively, instinctively, broke that cello open and
Or
opened
someone
his.
in spirit did it with him. Someone looking after him and knowing his real path helped that happen. I
Yes.
think it's a fantastic story. I didn't find that in the book, but that's why I asked her the question. But he went on to many award-winning films, and he's known for his achievements as an American playwright and screenwriter, and he pursues his art assiduously. He loves his work, and he found it, and he wasn't controlled by his family history or the outside world. And I think that's part, another spiritual part of finding our destiny. So now we go on to the next man, Colm Tobin, who I think he came from Ireland, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And
Yeah.
he is also an award-winning author and an Irish treasure. He has been nominated for the most prestigious Man Booker Prize for fiction 3 times for 3 books, The Blackwater Lightship, The Master, and The Testament of Mary. But everybody probably knows him best for his award-winning screenplay and book Brooklyn, that then became the movie starring Saoirse Ronan. And if anybody wants a story of immigration, which of course is a timeless story, I recommend downloading Brooklyn, the film with Saoirse Ronan about a young Irish immigrant leaving Ireland and arriving in New York City.
Well, that was his story. He writes a lot about exile and home, and he left Ireland to come to America and the United States, and he lost his father, I believe, when he was very young, and he had a lot of suffering in his childhood, but it ultimately did not break him. It brought him to look up and maybe ask for help from spirit and to find his way to develop his talents. And I found that very lovely. And now we're going on to a story of someone very important, Kate Kendell, a Mormon who grew up in Utah, and she works for lesbian rights, and I think she did more than that. So she had the audacity to fight for justice. So this is the second person from the Mormon community that we're discussing here today. So tell us about Kate Kendell. I found her story also very, very interesting.
Yes, again, Kate Kendell grew up as a Mormon in Ogden, Utah, the heart of Mormon land. And she was really pushed and prodded by all the norms and mores of 90% of her neighbors and classmates who were Mormon to be a dutiful wife and have dutiful children and do what good Mormon women do. And she did none of the above. She in fact became a lawyer, and she eventually came to San Francisco, where she worked for the National Center for Lesbian Rights, which was one of the first centers in the United States that specifically addressed the needs of lesbians, because at the time, lesbians were not the quote-unquote favored minority. It was gay white men. So in order to even raise money to defend women who were losing custody of their children because they were lesbian, women who were seeking asylum because they were tormented in their home countries, the National Center for Lesbian Rights offered free legal counsel to lesbians from all over the United States. And Kate ran the organization for 25 years and argued before the Supreme Court three times. Most lawyers don't argue in front of the U.S. Supreme Court in their entire lifetimes. And Kate did it three times and won every time.
Yeah, bravo to her. And she also wrote this: Utah has a very, very dominant white culture. And to be who I wanted to be with Sandy, who is her wife, an African-American graduate of Yale, she says, I was forced to really unpack white privilege to understand how deep white supremacy goes, how you're either part of dismantling it or complicit in upholding it. To really understand race and racism, I feel, is one of the most important lessons of my life, is what she said. Now, I always have synchronicity with all my guests. And my daughter, Stacy Kendall, so we have the name Kendall here, as a child actress made a movie when she was 15, and we spent almost 3 months in Ogden, Utah, where I learned a great deal about the Mormon community. And later on, Stacy had her four little girls, and she needed someone to help her. And a young woman walked through the door. I opened the door to her. And I took one look at her and I said, oh, this is like Mary Poppins arriving to help my daughter. She was a young woman from Ogden, Utah, and she became a member of our family, and she was very independent, and she had a great love for God and spirit, but she did not embrace the Mormon lifestyle either. She's still living in New York. She's extremely independent. So no matter what community we're born into, our natural nature and innate talents surface. So I believe nothing's random in our life as our soul seeks to refine its energy and create opportunities to grow in greater compassion and love. And that's what your book is showing. Your book is showing the talent of soul life, no matter what the challenges are that are around us. Now, I know you are aware that in many Muslim nations, LGBT, you mind if I leave the Q off? Is that okay? Or should I put the Q on for the millennials?
Put the Q on for the millennials.
Okay, then I'll feel good about it. LGBTQ members are physically harmed, even murdered. How will we begin to approach changing this ignorant and false religious beliefs? How is it going to happen? What do you think?
You know, you're asking a very provoking question, because religion is so deeply embedded in the fabric of someone's upbringing that it becomes either a weapon or a candle in the wind. And
well,
unfortunately,
how do we get it to be a candle in the wind is my question.
Yes, yes, I'm getting to that. You're asking a tough question.
It is a tough question.
I think, you know, on the global stage, 76 countries still imprison LGBTQ citizens for the crime of being queer. And 13 of those countries can impose the death penalty. Mm. So I want to hark back to Hillary Clinton, your senator in New York. In December of 2011, Hillary Clinton famously declared at the United Nations in Geneva, LGBT rights are human rights and human rights are LGBT rights. She made that declaration in front of all those countries, both favoring and allowing and supporting LGBTQ citizens, and those African and Middle Eastern countries specifically who were instituting the most severe penalties for being gay. So I think that that's the beginning. You know, Hillary Clinton made LGBT rights, raised it to the level of human rights, right directly in front of those very countries that were oppressing, torturing, imprisoning, and in some cases murdering their citizens just for the crime of being LGBTQ. So I think,
well,
that's one.
It's a start.
Step.
You know, it's a start. You also report in the book only 6.3% of Chinese workers are out of work because they've experienced a hate crime. And in the UK, 66% of LGBTQ individuals have experienced a hate crime. And I remember seeing a movie years ago that disturbed me greatly. The man who helped us win World War II, with what he did with breaking down the code of the Nazis, was, you know, a member of the LGBT. And after the war, instead of being honored, he was imprisoned and given medication to suppress his natural instincts, and he committed suicide. And you remember
Alan,
that?
Alan,
I can't. What's
yes,
his name?
Alan Turing.
That's
Alan
it.
Turing.
That's it.
Was chemically castrated.
Yes.
Because the choice was either that or imprisonment and public humiliation at that time. He has since been posthumously pardoned by Queen Elizabeth in England. And I think it
but
shows
I didn't
the
know
progression.
At the time. Yeah, I didn't know at the time that was the policy in the UK. And I was horrified. You know, I'm a sensitive. And all I want is for people to live cooperatively and to allow people to find their own destiny. Everyone on the planet right now, all 8 billion or more people, have their own soul journey. And we cannot judge what is right or wrong. And that's the problem. There's so much judgment. And that's what we need to get beyond. So our work is very much in alignment to expose people to the beauty of the soul and the beauty of to enjoying this life using our inner wisdom. And so please tell me if there was a time you were hurt or disappointed by people. I was disappointed and I was wounded, and I never forgot that, by people who simply were insensitive. So is there a time you felt that?
There are so many times it's hard to pick out one example.
All right.
But I will tell you one. I was working for a major Silicon Valley technology company back in the 80s, and I was a persuasive speaking instructor for the company. And in my class, there were several engineers, one of whom was a born-again Christian. And he actually got up and said, there are five reasons where murder is okay. There are five things. One is pedophilia. One is murder. One is incest. One is what do you do when you covet someone else's wife? What is that called?
That's from the Ten
adultery.
Commandments. Yes, adultery. Oh my
adultery.
God! You're gonna kill people for that? Oh.
And the last one was homosexuality.
Oh, my.
And I, at the time, was in the closet because there were no protections for LGBTQ employees at my company at the time. And I was fortunate to have, of all people, an Egyptian engineering manager in my class who was this guy's manager, actually. And he refuted every single one of this guy's claims with intellectual support. And so I didn't have to do it. But trust me, I felt literally threatened.
That is definitely one of the worst things that I have ever heard come out of a human being's mouth. So what would you like people to take away from your book? It was such a wonderful book with so many wonderful stories of people who have found their way to their own life.
Right. Well, for anyone, whether you're LGBTQ or you're straight or you're questioning, I would say this is a great book to be inspired by, to lift you up, to hear the stories of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer individuals who have overcome every manner of obstacle to actualize their potential. And I think that when you hear those stories, you'll be motivated to actualize your potential.
So therefore, it's for everyone. It's for
exactly.
Everyone. There's no difference in what your sexual, needs or desires are. It doesn't really matter. We are free to choose to live and be happy and healthy. So I want to thank you, Kathleen Archambeau, author of Pride and Joy, for sharing insights into the spirit of the LGBTQ community, which for a good portion of the nation and world still remains elusive. In learning that we are all connected by the energy of life and soul, it becomes easier to appreciate all living beings as unique and guided by a higher hand for their own unique journey. To learn more about love, success, and to understand a talented group of people, go to KathleenArchambeau.com or Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the most creative and courageous journeys of several members of the LGBTQ community as we move forward to the best of human evolution, to accept people in all their uniqueness and know that many march through the feelings and awareness of needs that have not traditionally been honored, sometimes by religious misconceptions or limitations, and through the fears of those who would keep society stagnant and adhere to old-time understanding of how men and women should function in a competitive society. When one truly begins to understand soul needs, past lives, and the universal laws of energy, we come to know our dual nature as spiritual beings for the purpose of feeling greater love and compassion, and the challenges of our innate life plan or destiny helps us to make choices that resonate with our higher self and teach us how to live boldly and brilliantly, sharing our many talents with the world and to the best of our ability standing up to corruption, hate, fear, and lack of human understanding. As a medium and energy healer, I accept, allow, and surrender to all things as I know our lives, sexuality, health issues, relationships, and interests are part of an eternal journey of gathering experiences and understanding the immense personal power we have to create lives that are happy, joyful, purposeful, and productive. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and author of A New Life Awaits, which may help you find a greater path to your own soul journey. And I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about change makers, visionaries, metaphysicians, scientists, spiritualist educators, and those in the arts and music fields, indeed people from all walks of life who seek to share their hopes for our continued human evolution. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.